Move, move. You can press the buttons. Which of course, no, not you.
Okay.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Filipino Freethinkers podcast that's also a video. I'm Red.
I'm B-Shirt.
And I'm Margie.
And today we're talking about two things. The first topic is how romance wrecked traditional marriage. And the second is the potential marriage of Freddy Aguilar with his current girlfriend. So, we suggest that you read this article, How Romance Wrecked Traditional Marriage. So now let's get into it. Like, what are the things that a lot of people do not know about how marriage used to be? Because we know that one of the counter-arguments against same-sex marriage or any progress in marriage, period, is always, it's not like traditional marriage. So what is traditional marriage?
What many people fail to see is that the history of marriage is wrought with many things that today we in the modern era would find just barbaric in a way. For example, in many traditional marriages, because of course there are many traditions of marriage, there is no one thing as the institution of marriage. Each religion, each region, each culture has its own tradition of marriage. And most of these traditions of marriage involved the man owning the wife. That is why they were pronounced, for example, in some traditions, man and wife, and not man and woman. There is an inherent inequality when it comes to many of these traditions.
I never thought of it that way. Husband and wife, not husband and wife.
Yeah, not husband and wife, not man and woman, but man and wife. So, man and his wife.
So women were generally seen as possessions.
Yes.
Back then. And what was the purpose of marriage back then? Like, of course now it's mostly love. Like a lot of people, when they love each other, of course there are still those clandestine, but anyway, what is the purpose of marriage back then? Why did people get married?
Many people, for example, get married because of to solidify clan ties, to be ordered to consolidate power within families, to have exchange of individuals between tribes, to pacify, knowing that some of your kinsmen are in the other tribe, that brings peace in the land. Those are some of the purposes that some traditional forms of marriage play. Another thing about traditional marriage is the fact that many forms of marriages, especially in the recent Judeo-Christian history, does not involve divorce. Some of them involves divorce, like Islam allows divorce. Some kinds of Christianity allow divorce. But there is this cultural pressure for the couple to remain married, which is already a cause for suspicion, because if the basis of marriage is love, then if the people, the couple, does not love each other anymore, or they cannot make it work, then we shouldn't force them to stay with each other. That is one case there. So I have a suspicion, and when I read the article, I was made to, you know, think about this, that perhaps people were forced to stay with each other, and that's the kind of marriage that there's a chainness to it. And in fact, chains and other forms of bondage, right, or imprisonment, are still used as metaphors for marriage, because the idea was that people rarely ever married for love.
I learned from research on marriage before I was thinking about whether to get married. That you mentioned shackles, right? You mentioned chains. And the modern wedding ring is actually what used to be literally shackles. Like,
yes.
Husbands would see their wives as conquests, like people to be conquered. And the symbolism for having done that is putting them in literal chains or shackles on their wrists or on their legs. And people unknowingly wear symbols of that subjugation when they wear wedding rings. But I guess it's now more equal because both of them do. So it's an improvement in that sense.
Makes me wonder though how marriage has transitioned from this traditional idea of just putting two people together to keep money intact or to keep power intact. And I mean, how did it get from there to where we are now, where marriage is traditionally usually considered to be something between two people, like it's a thing between two people who are in love? I mean, how did it get there?
So it used to be that marriage was for political reasons?
Yeah, like or love had nothing to do with it.
For property, right? To put to consolidate wealth.
So what changed?
And power. It was mostly the Catholic Church that we have to thank for that. That it used to be that the norm was, you know, there could be polygamy, but the church enforced its rules of monogamy as a standard. And when the situation happened that even priests were, their property was being threatened, like by all of these children, and they got into the whole sacrament of marriage. It was one of the latest sacraments that they took on, actually. So it was more of an afterthought. They didn't think marriage was that important anyway. It's even in the Bible that, you know, marriage is only a last resort. If you can't control your lust, it's better to be married than to have lust outside
indeed.
Of marriage.
Like, if you read the epistles of Paul, he would ask his followers, the readers of his epistles, to abstain from having a relationship. Because, of course, during the early days of Christianity, they were all thinking that the world was going to end anyway.
Yeah.
So what's the
in
sense
in their generation?
Of, yeah, in their generation, within their lifetime. So what is the sense of marrying? But Paul said that if you really can't resist, then you marry. So it is a last resort in the Bible.
So even in theology, like the purpose of marriage, of course, unitive, you know, and procreative. Mm-hmm. The love part in there was also an afterthought. It was like early theologians thought that being passionate, even with your wife, was not a good thing to happen. Mm-hmm. Like you couldn't really have sex for enjoyment or, you know, it or to express your love. It was mostly for procreation.
Yes.
That's why they prescribed things like the missionary position, so that you can't be too passionate when you do the more passionate positions, I guess.
That's why there's such a disconnect between people who are in love and can't have sex with each other because they believe it should be saved for marriage. Because their reasoning that they have to save their thing, their chastity until marriage is based on something that doesn't have anything to do with love in the first place.
So thoughts on the whole transition from property to love? Like before, love you would reserve, or love or passion you would reserve for your concubine.
Yeah.
The marriage was really very practical to take care of the kids. Mm-hmm. You got a wife. Mm-hmm. So that you saw it as a household thing, as a practical thing. And then it got into love. Is it an improvement? Do you think it's an improvement from the actual traditional, or let's say not traditional, because as you said, the definition of marriage changes,
yes,
you know, throughout traditions. But is it better now that that love is in the picture, that romance is in there?
I believe it is better now that romance is in the picture, because that would, of course, that will expand our definition of love. Like the definition of love as one, the definition of marriage rather, as one man and one woman, I meant marriage. The definition of marriage as one man and one woman wouldn't stand up to scrutiny if we say that love, or that marriage is an institution born out of love.
Yeah.
Like you cannot rationally defend marriage inequality if you say that marriage is an institution of love. So if we define marriage as being an institution that simply legally empowers love, or empowers couples, co-parents especially, and partners in life especially as well, then marriage inequality would be indefensible.
Why are we so hung up on getting married in the first place? Why is it so important for us to have a piece of paper to legitimize our relationship with another person? All this talk brings to mind the fact that there are so many gay couples who have been together without marriage for a long, long time, for years, for decades even, and they still want that piece of paper to solidify the relationship they have, even though they've lived practically all their lives with each other and have built their lives together. I don't know why we still hang on to that.
There are very practical reasons. There are benefits that you can get from the law when you have a wife. There are work benefits and, you know, property rights and all that. But some people just don't trust each other so much. So before I give you the sex, you have to promise me that only I will get the sex.
Right.
something like that. But some people, you know, they want to make a declaration. I have this really strong feeling for you right now, and I'm going to promise to you right now that you are the only one for me. Something like that. We have very, you know, interesting notions of what love means. You know, it's one person for the rest of eternity, and you know, not acknowledging the fact that you could fall in love with someone else, or that your love for one person can
peter out.
Be lost.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, would you guys be okay? Because some people suggest that instead of fighting for marriage equality, let the religious people have their marriage. Let the state recognize that some people want to live together for a very long time, and let us give them the economic and legal benefits of recognizing their union.
Yeah.
And let the people who want to define marriage, whatever they want to, however they want to define it, let them have their marriage.
Yeah.
And let us not fight for marriage anymore. Let us just fight for civil unions and the empowerment of couples who want to stay together. So, I am for that.
I think in the same way that there's a right to peaceful assembly, there should be a right to whatever kind of assembly that you like, whatever definition of marriage that you want.
It doesn't have to be two people.
And I don't think that it has to be related to religion. As it is now, in the Philippines, you can be married however you want, as long as it adheres to some religious tenets of an established religion.
Well,
I have to add, of an established religion.
Of an established
unfortunately.
Religion. But it is quite interesting because, for example, when I was a Christian, the Christian sect that I belong to, a Protestant Reform, they believe that other kinds of marriages, marriages outside the true church, the one true church, were null and void because, of course, marriages were made by God. These are unions made by the God they believed in.
Even the Catholic Church?
Yes, even the Catholic Church. So Catholic marriages, Muslim marriages, other kinds of marriages, like Shinto marriages, all these kinds of marriages, they are not true marriages because they are not sacred unions because God did not bless these unions.
So so much for the topic of traditional marriage and how romance has wrecked it. Let's move on to our second topic, which is kind of related to the last thing that we discussed.
Yes.
I'd like to acknowledge the presence of our new guests.
I'm Pepe.
And I'm Levi.
And they are guys. So let's talk about our next topic, which is Freddy Aguilar's potential marriage with his current girlfriend. Let's talk about this, that for a bit.
Okay.
So who is Freddy Aguilar for the benefit of our fans, our millions of fans who maybe do not know so much about him?
Who happen to be living under a rock. Because Freddy Aguilar is a very popular songwriter.
He was the Justin Bieber of the 60s. 70s. I don't know.
Okay, later maybe. He wrote the famous song Anak, which was translated into a bajillion languages. And so recently, it was found out that he had a 16-year-old girlfriend at the age of 60-something. He's in his 60s.
1906.
He's in his 60s and he has a girlfriend who is 16. And so this kind of made people go, what? And he recently also, admitted to be having sex with his girlfriend. And the news is he's considering converting to Islam so that he will be allowed to marry his girlfriend at her age.
So is there really an issue about dating a 16-year-old or having sex with a 16-year-old? I know someone who is older than 30, and not 30, 20. Anyway, we're not talking about the ethics of consent, of that particular issue. We're not even talking about whether it's okay to marry someone who is under the age of consent, or maybe under 18, or 25, or whatever. We're talking about the issue of using religion to have your way. That's the main issue. And of course, here in the country, that's a very common thing. I imagine, or I remember such issues like the CEAP schools, the CEAP schools, wanting to have the privilege of kicking someone out just because they're pregnant or unmarried. You remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
And of course, currently we have the issue of Islam having, or any other tribe with a different religious tradition, having their own rules that are different from the rest of the country when it comes to obtaining or having to obtain marriage licenses because they're exempted from doing so. So what do you think of this?
I think, well, first of all, I don't think it's the right reason to convert to Islam.
What is the right reason to convert to Islam?
If you really actually do believe in these things, fine, by all means convert. But if you're going to convert just because you want to marry this 16-year-old, or if you want just because you want to marry a lot of women, or so on and so forth, that doesn't seem right to me.
Wasn't it Henry VIII? Was it Henry VIII who made his own religion?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there we go.
Split up the church just so that they could have the marriage that he wanted. So, yeah, if you believe, I actually read some reactions from some Muslims who was insulted by the potential marriage conversion of convenience.
Yeah, I think they have a right to be offended. And because they're being used as a tool. I mean, the religion is being used as a tool.
But isn't it a feature of Islam that, hey, you can marry someone this young as long as you love them and all that? I mean, think of someone converting to Christianity because they want to get into heaven. Isn't that kind of the same thing? Like, it's a benefit? Oh, you're only converting to Christianity because you want to get into heaven. You don't believe in the tenets yet, but it's okay, that can come later. Like, it's a marketing thing. It's a marketplace of religions, and getting to marry someone who's young and something that you cannot do in any other religion is definitely an advantage.
Well, the bottom line here is that religion has become an excuse to override the law. At least in this country, it's very common that we have special treatment for different religions under the law, which is a clear violation of the principle of secularism.
Yes.
Where it's stated that the government should not favor any religious sect or group in legislation. So that's it. If your country has laws that treat people from different religions differently, it's the double standard, maybe even triple, whatever, quadruple standard, then it's not fully secular. So we should strive for that idea.
There's a flip side to that, though. I mean, how do you deal with the idea of minorities trying to, say, accommodate minorities in their own traditions and whatnot?
Speaking of accommodation, I think the government is actually better at accommodating minority religions or faith groups rather than move progressively as a whole nation. So what I'm suggesting here is that if you want to make significant progress in any arena of social justice, it's better to just create your own religion, like a religion where contraception is a sacrament. And then, if you're violating my religious freedom, if you don't allow me to perform abortion or divorce or contraception or same-sex marriage, right?
That's an excellent idea.
So I think
I'll be the first to sign up.
It's a good place as any to end the discussion on the potential of the free-thinking religion. And thank you so much for watching this episode, and good night.
Bye.
Wow, okay. Yay. Yay. Audience.
Yay. Canned laughter.
Canned laughter. Okay, thank you, Gary.
I was
Oh, let me out!
Oh, I didn't think it was the thing.